You know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk, Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is Tuesday, March the 8th, 2016, and obviously, as we've talked about before here at Hip Hop Sports Report, March 9th is a very special day in the world of hip hop music. It marks the day that we lost the Notorious B.I.G., which this year it'll be 19 years ago tomorrow, which is incredible. 19 years ago. And the anniversary of Tupac's death will be in September this year. It'll be 20 years, which is crazy how the time has gone by. But in order to commemorate what has become basically hip hop's holiday, we here at Hip Hop Sports Report want to bring you guys something very, very special this evening. So here we are in full effect. Voltron, Megazord, whatever you want to call us, the whole conglomerate is in full effect here on the podcast this evening. This is your host, Jay Hicks, with the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast, y'all. The preseason podcast of the year is back for the first time with two guests on the same line. Upgrading technology. Yes, you guys should all be impressed. We have both Kenneth Hicks and Anthony Houston joining us on the line, the Your Ad Here hotline. And we call it the Your Ad Here hotline because we're absolutely for sale here. This is a for-profit deal. So absolutely, if somebody wants to sponsor us, you'll definitely get a shout-out. But on the Your Ad Here hotline, we have Anthony Houston and we have Kenneth Hicks joining us here momentarily. And we're going to talk nothing but hip-hop tonight. And it's all going to be in the name of the late, great, Notorious B.I.G. and to celebrate hip-hop on this day. Or for tomorrow, I should say. Thank you for joining us, y'all. I want to start off by, again, shouting out the website, of course, hiphopsportsreport.com is the website. I'm going to do my very best this evening, y'all, to not sound or come off too lethargic. I just had a nice lasagna dinner prepared by the missus. And, you know, man, it's that itis, man. That itis kicks in, man, and it'll get you. So I'm fighting that, and I'm going to try to bring you guys the best podcast you'd have never heard in your damn life. But not that I'm a martyr or anything. I'm just saying this is what I'm up against right now. These are the stakes. But hiphopsportsreport.com is the website. Of course, go ahead and find this podcast on Stitcher Radio or on iTunes. Just do a search for Hip Hop Sports Report, and we'll come right up. And then you can hear us in your ear holes immediately with all that realness around hip hop and sports. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/HHSReport. We are just under 1,000 followers now. I believe we're at 999 followers on Twitter. So thank you to all you guys who follow us on Twitter, who listen to us, who support, who read our articles, and retweet our columns and all that. We appreciate it. You can find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/HHSReport. And obviously on the website, great work from Kenny and Anthony both. We have a very special double feature tomorrow going out regarding Future Hendrix. Future, probably the hottest rapper in the game right now, pretty much. I never thought I would say that, but, you know, I said it on the podcast a few weeks ago, and I'm saying it again now. He's right near the top of the list. And we're going to delve into some more Future talk here on the website. So we have a tale of the tape for his latest album by Anthony, and Kenny's going to dive into some just kind of talking about Future a little bit in a broader context, because I think it's a fair question of whether or not he's really that good. I don't know, but read the article and that'll be up tomorrow. Read the tale of the tape, that'll be up tomorrow as well, and this podcast, Lord willing, will be up tomorrow for you guys to hear for our March 9th celebration. So thank you guys for joining us. Kenneth, Anthony, how you guys doing this evening? Let's start with Kenneth out in Los Angeles. How you feeling this evening?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Man, I'm blessed, man. I'm doing good. Just like I said, trying to make it through this podcast on a full stomach and not let my head smash into the glass table on which I am recording this podcast, splitting me from ear to ear. That's what I'm hoping for. Anthony, how you feeling tonight?
I got no complaints. I'm sitting here with you two gentlemen, and got the old league pass in front of me. And so I'll be watching these games, talking about this music culture, and trying to have a good time.
Awesome, man. And let us know if anything bizarre happens, if Dame Lillard goes for 50 again, as you kind of talked about in your column about Damian Lillard and Anthony Davis doing work on the hardwood for the love of that money. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to get some ducats out here via the Rose Rule. So go ahead and check out that column. That was a very good one from Anthony. And so if anything else like that crazy breaks, Anthony, just interrupt us and let us know, you know, because I think our listening audience will want to hear that information like in real time, but like a day later. That makes sense, right? also, shout out to everybody that supported the David Griffin article and the Cavaliers Should Be Mad as Hell column. Both of those two columns have been doing big numbers on the website. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for, actually some of our most successful days ever as a website since we had our last podcast. So thank you guys so much, 1,000 times over, for making it possible. You guys are amazing. But we didn't come here to talk sports tonight. We came here to talk about hip-hop music. It's been a little bit since we talked about it, and I felt that this is something that we should probably start doing on a regular basis annually around this time of year, again, as part of the March 9th celebration. I'm thinking that we need to deliver a state of hip-hop address, and maybe I'm not qualified to do that on my own, but I feel like collectively, we are qualified to do that, just the three of us, yes. So we're not going to maybe tell you about the state of hip-hop necessarily, but maybe we're just going to touch on some broader issues that are arising within the industry that we're noticing, and that's kind of going to be the cadence for this evening's show. So I wanted to start off, and Kenny and Anthony, I have not touched on this topic with you yet directly, I don't believe. I know I haven't today anyway, and I'm going to walk you through kind of a theory that I have, and I'm going to have you guys react to it, but and then I'm going to let you guys throw your own theories out a little bit later on in the show. So this is something that I noticed, and actually, I'm going to go ahead and put you guys on hold for a hot second while I grab my pad, because I left my pad. Hang on one second. All right, we're back. Some of that's getting edited out, but yeah, we're back. So I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit, and so again, just talking about the state of the hip-hop landscape, right? That's kind of the subject matter that we're tackling this evening. And I wrote down a list of rappers. And it's a lengthy list, but I'll blow through it really quickly. But I was just basically thinking of the top rappers that I could think of off the top of my head. Like the most successful, the most relevant, the guys who are making the most impact on the game still right now in 2016. Maybe I missed a name here or there, so don't shoot me for that, y'all. Not just you guys, but those listening or whatever. Don't go to iTunes and light me up because I left the name off or whatever. You know, I'm sorry I left off Mims off this list, whatever. But let me just roll through these names right quick, and I'm going to see if you guys can pick up on anything about this list. Okay, from the top. Jay-Z, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Nas, Eminem, Future, Rick Ross, Young Jeezy, T.I., A$AP Rocky, Travis Scott, Kanye West, Pusha T, Lil Wayne, Fetty Wap, Kid Cudi, Cameron, Tyler the Creator, Lupe Fiasco, Earl Sweatshirt, Logic, Kevin Gates, Game, 2 Chainz, Jadakiss, Fabolous, Migos, Wiz Khalifa, Currency, Nipsey Hussle, Wale, Meek Mill, Nicki Minaj, Scarface, Plies, Macklemore, G-Eazy, Yo Gotti, Young Thug. And just for Kenny, Freddie Gibbs. Okay. Now, what do you guys notice about that list?
A lot of two names.
Lots of two names?
Yep.
Anything, Kenny? Anything? Any reaction to that list?
It's pretty much every, I guess, widely considered relevant rapper that would, I would say that would be somebody who has a large following, or a rapper that would be considered having a large relevant following in this day and age.
Okay. Now, here's what I noticed about that list. And again, that was just me off the top of my head earlier today, just writing down names as soon as I could think of them. Out of that entire list of names that I just read off, there's only one group in that entire list. Just one. Just one. And if you think about it, even though some of the other names that we mentioned are a part of like crews and stuff like that, there was only one legitimate group on that entire list. And my big reaction right now to the hip-hop landscape is this. The rap groups have died. They died. Like, where did all the rap groups go? There are no more rap groups. Rap groups are a thing of the past. The only group that I named that entire list was Migos. Migos was the only group I named. Right? Now, you know, right. Now, say what you will. I mean, if Migos is carrying the flag for all other hip-hop groups, maybe we're all in trouble. More trouble than we thought. But when I'm thinking of rap groups right now, the only other, I'll start over. I then decided to go ahead and write a list of names of relevant rap groups right now. Aside from Migos, here's what I came up with. And again, maybe I'm missing something, maybe I'm not. This is what I came up with off the top. ASAP Mob, Odd Future, Maybach Music Group, Young Money, OVO, maybe, Black Hippie, sort of, right? Like, I have a question mark next to Black Hippie. Like, they're kind of a group, but like, not really. They're kind of more of a label and a crew. I mean, they're kind of a group, but they're kind of both. And some have, we've seen both before. Like, we've seen like Dipset back in the day. Dipset was like a label and a group. But like this, you know, Black Hippie's kind of like their own thing. ASAP Mob, they're a group, sort of, but I mean, I don't know if there's any ASAP Mob compilation records out right now that I know of. I know that Rocky put out his record last year. I know Ferg, I think, has a second album coming out. And the rest of those ASAP dudes got, like, singles and stuff like that, to my knowledge. Like, there's not a whole lot else going on there. I think Odd Future split up. I'm not positive about that. Maybe you guys can correct me on that. I know Earl Sweatshirt's been kind of doing his solo thing. Tyler kind of faded into the background a little bit. We have MMG. Think about all the MMG infighting there's been. They're not a group, certainly, right? They're a label. Young Money, they're a label. OVO is a label. Like, they're not, none of these are groups. What we've noticed, though, in hip-hop within the last few years is we don't see any more groups coming out and just dominating the airwaves, but what we're seeing is individual artists teaming up for collaborations. So we've seen Jay-Z and Kanye West get together and call themselves The Throne, right? But they're not really a group. They're Jay-Z and Kanye West, right? Then we have Drake and Future, for instance. Then we have Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz just put out a record together, just out of nowhere, right? Then we have, who am I missing? There's always been rumors about Kendrick and J. Cole linking up for a project. But this is kind of what we have. We just have these individual rappers coming together and working on individual projects, but we don't have any groups. Why is that? I have a theory. What killed the rap group, in my opinion, is something that you and I and, or you know, both of you guys and I use every single day. You know, it's a part of everybody's culture. It's a part of all of our lives. It's become a fixture. It's social media. I believe social media killed the rap group. If social media is the blunt object that struck the rap group in the head, and it's over with now. It's like Unfaithful, where Richard Gere hits the dude with the snow globe. Like, that was social media just taking out the rap group, because everybody that's younger now, obviously hip hop is a young person's game, and we've talked about that many times over. But what we have here is we have young people that are now taking over the culture and they're now the stewards of that culture. But they're all immersed in this social media world, right? Where social media skills and social media etiquette is at the forefront, and social skills is in the background. So nobody knows how to communicate with each other. These kids today, and I'm talking like an old man, get off my lawn or whatever, but these kids today, they have thousands of followers online and they can't hold a conversation in person. As a result, you have a bunch of people that don't know how to work together and collaborate with one another on a project. I think back to my friends, and you know, this doesn't include either of you guys, but some of my boys from back in the day when we used to kick it back at home, you know, we used to decide we were going to go to the club one night and it'd be like four of us were going to get together. And it was such a project to get four dudes on the same page to get us to the club downtown. It was impossible to be like four young men, to get them on the same page, to have everybody dressed and ready to go on time, for everybody to have money, for somebody to have a car, for somebody to get picked up at so-and-so's house. Everybody can pay the cover. Everybody can, you know, has their ID on them. Somebody's going to forget their ID. Somebody's not going to have any money. Somebody's going to get into a fight. Somebody's going to get drunk. Somebody's not going to show up. Somebody's going to lose their phone. Something's going to go wrong. And that was just us going to the club. You know, I'm thinking about these rap groups. It's no wonder that they can't get a rap group together. Like, it's impossible for young men to get on the same page. And now, in an era where everybody's focused on themselves, and because social media is all about developing yourself and your own following. It's not about developing a group. It's not about developing yourself in person. It's about how can I start the best facade of a lifestyle that I want people to believe that I have online and get people to buy in. Everybody thinks that they can be like Soulja Boy and just blow up from social media. And that's really hard to do because it's really hard to cut through the clutter these days. But it's just a reflection of our society today, in my opinion, for people of a certain age bracket. And basically, it's like art imitating life without life even acknowledging it or being aware of it. So I'm off my soapbox. That's kind of my big takeaway of hip hop right now. There's no more rap groups, and I don't know if they're ever going to come back. Anthony, what is your takeaway on all that?
If I would refer to my favorite movie, it's Rush Hour, and it says in the James T. Carter School of Police Work, you got to follow the rich white man. And that is basically the reason that there's no groups is because there's no money in it. The money is short in music, and short money don't get shared. And if you have a group, you got to share the money. And in every group, there is a star, and then there's non-stars in the group. There may be more than one star, but there's not all stars. Like, you missed it, and I was thinking of groups while you're talking, and the only other group that I can think of is those two dudes who put out the song Ray Schremer,
Ray Schremer.
No Flex Kid.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they're hot too. Like, I like a bunch of their music for what it is. But one of those guys is a star, and the other one is not. And they're a two-person group. And, you know, possibly because of what they could do on the internet, or however they got enough money to make videos and stuff, they can do it for now. But one of them is a star, and the money's not going to be that long. So the star is going to have to do his thing in a moment, and that's going to be the end of that.
I'm not entirely sure what rich white men has to do with this.
Well, they're the people at the label, you know.
Okay.
It's a much more important to me way of saying follow the money, but
we are.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
We love you, Leo.
Eat high five to Kenny for getting that. Thank you. But yeah, that's what it is to me. I think the money is short, and the money is short for music in general. So, you know, there's too many mouths to feed in a group.
So you think that people just finally smartened up, and after 20 years, 30 years of rap music where people had groups and they had massive success, they finally just said, you know what, we're just gonna cut out the middleman. We're just not even gonna have a group. Because you look at groups like the Lox, have had a pretty successful run, although they haven't put out a ton of music together. Like, they put out an album like last year or something like that, and prior to that it had been like 15 years, but they had still made mixtapes, and they were a really respected trio or you know. So I mean, even though Jada was the star, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, I feel like it could be done both ways, no?
I would think not. Just because of the money and the logistics of everything. I'm sure the logistics hurt, especially when people get older. Like you said, it's a young man's game. Once you get some kids involved or a steady chick involved, someone's got to do stuff with their family, and it's hard to get them around the other parties involved. It's tough. I just think it's logistically it's hard. And again, it goes back to the money. People are in it for the money after a certain point.
Kenny, what you think about all this?
Well, I do agree with a lot of what's been said up to this point. To kind of expound on it a little bit, I would say that if you take, for example, an artist like, let's say, Waka Flocka, and artists like Crime Mob, you know, and they all kind of came up and bubbled around the same time. And, you know, the thing is that there was probably a certain point where you could probably book them for a show for the same price. Now, Waka Flocka would take that check and put it in his pocket and go home. And that for that same X amount of dollars, you would get Crime Mob, and now they have to split that check between, what, like 5-6 members or something like that? There's no way that's going to work. You know, not in this era, you know, especially like we said before, with, you know, record sales already not being what they are or what they were. To then go on from that and then say, okay, well, now you have to take that small check that, you know, because everybody's downloading albums now and streaming and all this other stuff. And, you know, at that point, you have to look around and say, okay, well, what else are we going to do? How else are we going to make our money? And it's just not economically feasible to continue as a group a lot of times. Beyond that, I would also say that technology is also a big impact in relation to all this as well. Not so much in the sense that that we've talked about up to this point as far as social media, but just in the fact that now it's so easy to just do everything yourself. Back in the day, if you were an artist like, let's say, a Big Crit would probably have some type of partner. He would have a rap partner. I believe earlier in his career, he came from a rap group. And, you know, when you have something like that, you know, he was doing the beats, he's doing the rhymes and everything like that. But before, you know, you would need to go find other outlets to kind of work with to make that all kind of come together. But now everybody has the technology to sit in their own room and, you know, close the bedroom door and make an album. And then at that point, it gets to a point where, okay, well, I really don't need anybody for anything. You know, so I think that a lot of times when you look at stuff like that and the financial aspect, I think that that's really comes into play, and that's a lot of times why people defer to go solo rather than maintain a career as a rap group.
And I think all that is well taken. I think that's a very astute point that both of you guys made. My follow-up then would be, do you miss it? Because I miss rap groups. Like, I love all the rap groups of our youth, and by which I mean Wu-Tang Clan and Tribe Called Quest and Bone Thugs, and N.W.A. was a little before my time, but, you know, like, all, you know, and granted, you know, I guess the story with all music groups and all genres is they always break up. Like, that's just the way it goes. So I understand that that's part of it, and kind of like to Anthony's point, you have the one star that's going to kind of carry the burden or carry the load a little bit, and then eventually they're going to break off and do their thing. And I get that. But I just feel like I miss there's a certain chemistry and camaraderie that you got with a group that I don't feel like you necessarily get with all these little labels of individual artists. You know, you pluck Meek Mill here, you pluck Wale here, you pluck Gunplay here, and you pluck Stally, and you pluck Ross. And now all of a sudden they're supposed to be a group and part-time French Montana. And like, and there's no chemistry there. The music suffers. There's no camaraderie. Then you got infighting between Wale and Meek Mill and stuff like that. Like, to me, it just doesn't, I don't know, it's just not the same. Like, and so as much as I love Wiz Khalifa and Currency doing music together, I miss the groups. Like, maybe I'm alone on that. Do y'all feel that way at all?
I don't miss them. I mean, me personally, like, my favorite rappers coming up were DMX before he took too little or too much cocaine. Like, Jadakiss is my favorite rapper. I mean, I don't miss the Locks that much. He was clearly better than those other two guys. DMX was the best guy out of Rough Riders, or at least the most consistently at a high level. I don't want to hear Jazzo I don't want to hear whoever else, you know, is around for, I don't know, some other person that I like. I don't want to hear those people. If they were that good to be around, they'd still be around. But, I mean, that's just me. I like hearing people who have chemistry together because they can kind of do that hot potato kind of thing on a record, which is dope. But it's also dope in small doses. I don't need a lot of it.
Well, you took a pretty significant shot at David Styles there, just FYI. I think there's a lot of Styles P fans out there that might take umbrage with the fact that you said Jada's light years ahead of David Styles. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I love Styles. I love Jada, too. Now, I was never, like, the biggest Sheik Luch fan in the world, but, you know, and not to disrespect Sheik Luch, but this is going to sound disrespectful, but, like, I would tolerate listening to some Sheik Luch, you know what I'm saying, if it meant I got to hear Styles and Jada on a record together. And like you said, the hot potato thing, like they did on We Gonna Make It, like, if Young Jeezy and Plies and 2 Chainz all got on a record together and with Logic, like, you can't recreate that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that those four individuals, they're so different. Like, you can't just recreate that kind of magic that they had on We Gonna Make It. Like, that was brilliance. You know what I'm saying? And there's no substitute for that. It's just like chemistry in the NBA or chemistry in the NFL. Like, that stuff matters in the locker room. You can't just throw a bunch of guys together and think that's an adequate substitute. Kenny, do you miss the groups at all?
I do. I honestly do. You know, I grew up, like you said, on all of that. Even, you know, some of the stuff, the NWA, you know, some of the Public Enemy, you know, some of the old stuff in that. So I missed that camaraderie of just, you know, of just having the crew come together. And it was, you know, not just, you know, MMG was a formed thing. It was like a boy band almost in that sense. It was just like, hey, it was a business. We all came together because we thought we could make some money together. And, you know, there was no real brotherhood in that, you know, and it's a business move. And I understand that. And that's fine. And I like what they did as far as MMG is concerned. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I personally enjoy that vibe. You know, and I do wish that we kind of had that still in the game. I don't know if it will ever come back. I think that, like you said, I think that with all the things that we've set up to this point, it's just now more of a personal interest and a me first kind of thing. And, you know, people may come together or collaborate frequently, but I just don't know if we'll see groups again like we've had before, unfortunately.
I mean, the money factor, I guess the money thing, like dividing up the money amongst the group, that was always a factor. That was a factor from the very beginning. I guess where it changed is, like we talked about, with the record sales not being what they were, and with, you know, with the pirating and all that stuff. And then you see rappers become more reliant on shows and touring to make their money. And then when they have to split up that tour money, that's when it becomes problematic, I guess. But by the sound of things, when you consider the money thing and the internet's not going away, math certainly is not going away, right? Division's not going away, and social media is not going away. So as these artists continue to grow up in this social media era and continue to focus on themselves and their own brand and their own sound, and they lock themselves in their bedroom and try to come up with a new dance or a new rhyme scheme or something like that, you know, we're not, I guess there's no, we're not seeing groups aren't going to come back. Like, to me, it sounds like I said they died, but like, I said it as if maybe it could maybe be resurrected, but I think the results of this conversation I'm getting is they're gone and they're going to stay gone. Like, they're just going to be cold and in the ground, and we're not going to see any rap groups anymore. So enjoy your Big Sean and enjoy your J. Cole and enjoy your Nip Hustle and whoever else. I mean, I think that's kind of what it is, it sounds like, right?
Unfortunately so. I don't, you know, it's... I hate to be the bearer of bad news, or maybe I'm not, because I didn't bring up...
You're the pallbearer of bad news. You're the pallbearer of bad news.
I'm the pallbearer of bad news, yes. You know, the one thing I did want to touch on from earlier that I did want to mention was just that I do know that, ironically, Our feature did, in fact, break up. I know that Tyler had sent out some messages or Twitter. I'm old, man, you know. Some Twitter thingies, you know, mentioning just the fact that...
Twitter thingies.
I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that, too. Some Twitter thingies mentioning the fact that he didn't feel like there was much of a brotherhood amongst him and the crew members anymore from our future, and that he barely talked to them or saw them anymore. You know, it was, you know, they had to, like, schedule times to even meet, you know, and it was basically over. So he effectively ended it. Ironically, though, since that time frame, he has actually kind of gotten down a lot with A$AP Rocky and A$AP Mob. So he's been hanging out with them. You know, I think they went on tour together, or they may be on tour right now. And they're in the studio a lot together, and they've been dropping freestyles and stuff.
You know what I think happened there?
Maybe he's fun.
I said, you know what I think happened there? I think Tyler, the creator, was kind of like the leader of the group, and he was the face of the group. But Earl Sweatshirt is better than him. And so I think, you know, like Tyler puts out his own records. He puts out like Wolf or whatever, and like people are like, yeah, it's all right. And then Earl Sweatshirt puts out his record, and it's like critically acclaimed. And then, you know, and then the group can't sustain that. Like everybody has to stay in their lane. And so then the group falls apart, and now Tyler's forced to fend for himself, and maybe he doesn't have the charisma or talent to really make an impact on his own, so he has to latch on to A$AP Mob.
Well, I mean, you know, that's an interesting theory. You know, the thing about it, too, is even if you look further than that, you know, Casey Veggies has established himself as a solo star. Frank Ocean blew up and disappeared all in, like, one fell swoop. You know, so when you look around, like, yeah, everybody, you know, all of these acts that were attached to our future, they all kind of did their own things. Even the Internet, if I'm not mistaken, some of the members of them are from our future. If not all of them. You know, so when you look around and you look at the success of all these people that were attached to Tyler, Tyler, he is successful and talented in his own right. And if you actually listen to his albums are actually really well thought out and well planned. They got really overarching themes. You know, a lot of them are themed around him and his, I guess, inner dialogue with his psychiatrist, so to speak. And you know,
Scarface did that years ago.
I'm sorry?
Scarface did that years ago, but I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, so did Eminem, but you know,
you guys sound like hipsters right now.
We sound like hipsters? We sound like old guys trashing the young guys.
Oh, that's so passe.
I mean, well, guilty, whatever. I'm just saying. I guess the moral of the story is that it's better to be Future than to be Odd Future. Anthony, what is your big takeaway from hip hop right now, March 8th, 2016, as you oversee the landscape? You're looking at the mountains. And you're looking at, you know, Post Malone. What do you see on the horizon?
Okay, so part of this is part of this, the seed of this idea comes from something I was shown on Twitter that was apparently on Reddit, which is basically that everything with Kanye West, full disclosure, I'm a Kanye West stan, but, the theory I put out there, or I saw, was basically all of this crazy Kanye stuff around Life of Pablo, the beef with Wiz Khalifa, something that we wrote about on the site. All of that is pre-programmed, and it's just marketing. You know, all that stuff is something that's fake. It's like, you know, I don't know who the Vince McMahon is behind everything, but I mean, it might be Kim Kardashian, but all the storylines have played out to, like, push title, to push the records, and to make the people involved money. And kind of going from that, what I'm thinking is that Kanye West is the test subject for creating subscription albums. And by that, I mean you stop creating projects that have timelines on them or that have endings on them. The Life of Pablo, apparently, you know, we've all been listening to it. I got a subscription to Tidal via my Twitter account somehow, and I've been listening to it off and on since it's come out. But it's not done yet. But who knows when it's going to be done, but there are newer, updated versions of songs. If you can make this a profitable kind of model, then the hashtag new rule that Jay-Z started 3 years ago, whenever he started one of his albums, he got Samsung to buy, which was kind of the first type of thing of that in hip-hop. If that becomes a thing, and Kanye West already tweeted out that he's not going to create CDs anymore, which I don't know where you buy CDs at, but that changes everything completely from an album model to a subscription. You're basically subscribing to an artist at a certain chapter. Like, The Life of Pablo could just be a thing that Kanye does for the next 10 years. And you just, oh, well, I'm going to drop this track out of the album and then update this track with maybe a different feature from this person, so on and so forth. I mean, I think that if that's the case, Kanye's a megalomaniac genius. And even if it's not the case, Kanye's a megalomaniac genius. So that's kind of my big idea. I don't know what you two think about that.
Okay, let me jump in real quick. I think that is a paradigm shift that we are not even ready for, frankly, because that just blew my mind just listening to you talk about it. Because, I mean, who would have thought that there could be a new model to consuming, you know, projects, like not consuming music, but consuming the project itself. Like, that's something that I never considered. And that really is those really are new rules. But I think the trouble with that is who, and I'm not saying this is, you know, I'm not attacking you here, Anthony, but I'm just saying, like, who is going to want to subscribe to an artist? Like, I love a lot of artists, but, you know, if I got to, like, I was having a conversation with a friend at work. I'm already mad that certain artists are releasing their albums on certain streaming services. So Kanye says, you know, he goes on Saturday Night Live and says, title, 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 you know, and then, you know, he tweets out that he's not putting his album on Apple Music. So now if I have a $10 a month subscription to Apple Music so I can get the new Drake record, now you're telling me that I can't even get the Kanye record? That's BS. That's garbage. So the industry might have a mutiny on their hands if that happens. Like, if I have to pay a subscription to get music from every single artist that I like if that's the way in which this is marching towards, like, that won't go over well, I wouldn't think, with a lot of people. And the internet being what it is, you still have to figure that stuff's going to seep out somehow. Kenny, what do you think?
You know what? I think that it sounds downright maniacal. I hope that if this was something that they have not thought about, I hope they somehow missed this podcast and listened to all the other ones. You know, just the fact that I don't want... I personally don't want to live in a world where I have to subscribe to each and every artist like that. You know, it would be brilliant, though, just to, you know, to think that an album has no actual lifespan. You know, because even with the release date of it, there was no real concise release date. It was just like, okay, well, it's about to come out. Well, I don't know. Well, we're moving up the date. Well, we're changing the name. And then it just kind of emerged. And, you know, I don't even know if the emergence of it was a leak or that was like the album release. You know, it just kind of showed up one day. And, you know, so to say that it had no, you know, infinite, you know, no finite start date or end date, and it's just like a existing breathing project like that, you know, that really could change the game for a lot of artists and the lifespan of artists and how royalties are administered and, you know, a lot of things. You know, it could change the game for the artist. It could change the game for the people behind the artist and the people, you know, that run the streaming services, and even for us as consumers and fans.
Can you imagine, like, hey, man, did you hear that new Wale record? Nah, bro, I had to let that Wale subscription go. I had to let that one run out. I was behind on my Big Sean bill. I had to pay up on my Big Sean. And I had to let Wale go this month. Now I'll get him back next month. I'll get it back next. Can you imagine that that's the world that we're living in? Like, that's bizarre. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. It works for Kanye because he's a part owner in Tidal. That means, like, when I was looking it up, or it came across in my internet usage, that Tidal became, like, the number one, I don't know, app at a certain point, mainly because of his album. And, you know, people weren't checking for Tidal like that before then. So it's like, oh, you don't make the money off of records, so why put out records when you can stream it on a service that you own? Sure, you're going to get people to steal it, but, and we're talking about Americans here, people are lazy. You sign up for it, you say, you know what, I'm just going to give them this 30 days of this free trial, give them my little debit card information, and boom, I'm in there. You like the album so much, and it keeps getting updated, you're like, you know what, I'll stick around for another month, and maybe I'll let Apple go, because I can listen to this here. I'm going to listen to this now, and there's more Life of Pablo coming out. Life of Pablo Segment 3 is coming out in 2 weeks. 2 weeks cuts into March. Forget it. I'll just pass on this right now. And then you find out, oh, well, maybe Kendrick Lamar is going to be on Tidal for some reason in the future. Oh, well, that's crazy. I have a Tidal subscription for Pablo. I mean, when I say Kanye West is a megalomaniac genius, I mean that on all them levels. Check out the article that we wrote about a certain Kendrick Lamar and Jay-Z hanging out. Jay-Z owns Tidal. It's a small hip-hop world. It's all connected. That's all I'm saying. Own it out there.
Yeah. You may be onto something for real. And again, you did spark that article, Anthony. I gave you credit in the column, and I'm giving you credit here verbally on the podcast. You sparked that idea about Kendrick possibly moving over to Roc Nation, and you know, we can presume Tidal if that were to happen. And it was purely speculation on our part, so we're not reporting anything, but we're just connecting dots. That's what we do. We're dot connectors here at HHSR, and that's kind of what we did. And that column has actually gotten a lot of positive feedback, and a lot of people have seen that and said, you know what, I could see that really happening. So, to the Kanye point, though, I think that he's one of the very few artists that have the pull to make a move like that and have his fans follow, because he has a very vocal and loyal fan base full of artsy fartsy nerds that love everything that he puts out, and they dub it, you know, the new Beethoven, no matter what it is. And those individuals will follow him to something like what you're talking about. I've been a Kanye fan since 2002, something like that. Kenny, you and I had conversations back at that time where I said he was going to be the next Dr. Dre, and that was like 2003. So before the College Dropout came out. So, I mean, it was like, you can tell that this dude has the ability and he has the charisma, and people follow him. People care what he thinks, probably too much. And they follow his Twitter account, as, you know, that's evidence of that right there. Like, people care too much about what he tweets, because he clearly just tweets out nonsense, and he's laughing at his kitchen table somewhere as people try to dissect it, and they're all taking it seriously. But am I going to follow Ross to a Ross subscription? Am I going to follow Game to a Game subscription? Am I going to follow, you know, I don't know, Fetty Wap? I need that Fetty Wap subscription. Like, I just don't think that every artist can pull that off. So maybe we're years away from that, but it's certainly something to be considered. And frankly, the whole concept of it is making my skin crawl, Anthony. So I'm going to move on. Kenny, what do you have? What is your major takeaway? Because we don't want to live in a world where that happens, like you said. So what is your major takeaway as you look at the hip hop landscape right now?
You know what? And after hearing about such a dreary subject, I kind of more hesitant to even bring mine to the table now, because mine's not much more upbeat than that one.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about the recent passing of a young Atlanta rapper, up-and-coming Atlanta rapper. It was a story that happened, I believe, over this past weekend, I believe. Were either one of you aware of this story?
I did hear about that. I didn't read it, but I heard about it, yeah. Was his name Bankroll Fresh?
Yeah. He was actually shot inside the studios of Street X Studios in Atlanta. They said he was reportedly shot. They said they found more than 50 shell casings at the scene of the crime. The reason why I wanted to talk about this was that when you look at this murder and you look at the murder of rapper Chinx Drugs, who was affiliate of French Montana and the Coke Boys, that was, I believe, in December of last year. When you look at these instances and you look at the fact that there's so many rappers out here that even in this day and age, even there was, I believe, a case or two last year in Chicago as well of rappers who are, you know, expiring before their time. And it's sad because of the fact that we're looking at these instances and it's like when we look at all these circumstances and we look at these young men who are finally putting themselves in the opportunity to project themselves into a position where they can actually better their lives, they're still not learning from the examples that have come before them. You know, and we're still seeing that, you know, again, coming right off of Black History Month, you know, we're still seeing, you know, these type of tragedies happen, and it's like we're not learning from our mistakes. And I just want to take a moment to just kind of just bring that to people's attention that this is still going on in our society, and this is something that's still a very real issue in hip-hop. You know, it's been, you know, like we said, and we're talking about the anniversary of the death of Notorious B.I.G., you know, when we look at all the stars that we've lost here from all regions of the country, it's just a sad sight that we're still dealing with this in 2016.
You're absolutely right about that, man. And, man, I didn't expect you to take it there, to be honest, but you're right. You're dead on. No pun intended. That was a bad pun. I'm sorry. I mean, just when you look back at even, you know, older cats like Jam Master Jay got shot outside a studio. Obviously, Tupac, Big L, who we talked about on the website recently. There's a long list of guys that this has happened to. I mean, Scott LaRock. Was Scott LaRock shot to death? I think he was.
Yes.
I mean, and how long ago was that? Like 1988?
I believe so.
I mean, like this is... You struggle to find the words to try to put that into some type of palatable context. I mean, like, you know, if any other industry, if pop stars were getting murdered left and right, like, I mean, not that these guys are all necessarily major stars, but like you said, that these are young men that are trying to put themselves and their friends and family and close people around them in to a scenario where they can win. And as we see so often in our communities, we're not in situations where we can win all too frequently. So when we get into a situation like that, it's really tragic when not only you have the loss of life, but you have the wasted talent and the lost opportunity on top of that. And like you said, I think the major point, even beyond all that, is like you said, Kenny, we're not learning from it. Because, again, Biggie Smalls was 19 years ago tomorrow. I still remember where we were. Our parents told us, Kenny, I don't know if you remember this, but we went to church the next morning. And our parents told us that a rapper that had the word Big in his name was killed the night before. But we didn't know who it was, you know, because Biggie died on a Saturday night. And then this was going into Sunday morning. So technically it was the early hours of a Sunday morning. And you know, our parents saw it on the news and told us about it. We're like, are you talking about Notorious B.I.G.? And they were like, we're not sure, maybe. And then we found out later that that's who it was. And I was a kid. We were kids. We're in our 30s now. Like, and this is still happening. And there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. There's no resolution to it. There's no rhyme or reasons. 50 shell casings? That's sick, you know? But... I mean, I'm glad that you brought this to attention on the podcast, but man, like you said, the fact that we're not learning anything from the passing of Notorious B.I.G. or Tupac Shakur or any of those other greats that we mentioned, it's just really upsetting to hear, because this thing is something, this violence, man, this gun violence is really afflicting our community and nobody else's, like, not like at the same rate it is doing to our young men, people that look like me and look like you and look like Anthony. And we're fortunate that we, you know, I mean, not that anybody's time can get called at any point, but like, we're fortunate enough to have made it out of our early 20s, to be perfectly honest, because a lot of black men aren't afforded that luxury. So it really is upsetting to hear, and the fact that it's still prevalent within the music industry. And I mentioned earlier about life imitating art. I don't know what this is, a chicken and egg kind of thing. You know, I don't know if the fact that these rappers really need to feel that they are the way that they portray themselves in their music. You know, I think there's a lot of fraud rappers out there. We've talked about Rick Ross on this podcast and on this website for years. I personally believe that the game is highly fraudulent, in that I don't believe that the game is as hardcore of a person that he is. I actually think the game is a really good dude deep down. Not even that deep down. I think on the surface, he's a good dude. But I think that he has this need to try to keep up this image as this tough guy. So he goes around getting into fights, beating up people, threatening them. You know what I'm saying? Getting in little tiffs with the law every now and again, just to keep his name in the news. And I feel like I don't even think it's in his nature to actually be that way. I just feel like he's kind of playing up the game persona and character. But Jaycion Taylor, I think, is a really good guy. and I'm totally just on the outsider looking in. But that's just kind of how I see him. And I think a lot of rappers are like that. You know, not every rapper grew up selling dope and getting the shootouts every other weekend. Like, I think a lot of rappers came from normal lives, and now we're getting to the point where we're seeing rappers come from the suburbs and that whole thing. But not everybody is a tough guy, and this isn't the Wild Wild West, man. This is real life, and you can get shot, and it'll all go away in an instant, man. Anthony, do you have any thoughts on this issue?
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. To put it bluntly, it sucks. And I'm not familiar with Bankwell Fresh, but I mean, if he was coming up, you know, I would have been, and many people would have also been, you know, at least made aware in some passing kind of way. And that's a wide range of people having passing knowledge of you can be a life changing situation. So even that lost opportunity is sad for him and the people that, you know, that care about him, you know, personally, and his fans or whomever they may be. So that kind of thing is sad. And it goes back to, not necessarily goes back to, but it reminds me of a scene from The Wire. Like, I'm a big fan of The Wire. And it was when one character, I believe it was Bodie, I'm not sure, I think it was Bodie to Michael. He was like trying to get Michael to go sell drugs during the day. And Michael's like, I gotta go to school. And Bodie said to him, well, what do you want to be, an astronaut? And it's like, the prospects for, you know, black people generally, but of people who don't have families of educated people or people who are kind of doing well, their children, the prospects of them are just so bleak all the time. And what appears to be the two avenues of success are entertainment or sports. And, well, the third is crime. And if you're not in one of those three, where are you going to go? And when you try to do one, the other two are close to you on the route out of the situation. And it's generational, and it sucks. And it seems like without having more avenues for success that are, you know, possible and deemed as being worthwhile in pursuing on a cultural level, it's just like, you know, things like this keep happening for, you know, for hashtag reasons. But, you know, it sucks. And it's sad to hear it, especially since, like I said, this guy seems like he was on the come up, so to speak, and he's robbed of his opportunity to maximize, you know, his life and, I mean, his earning potential too. So it's just that. And I don't know how we learn from it without structural changes in our whole society. So I don't really know. There's no real answer to that other than it sucks.
I was reminded of Dobe. That was one of T.I.'s artists that got killed back in 2013. And I'm just here, you know, online. I went ahead and just Googled rappers who were murdered. And there's a list on, first of all, the Wikipedia page exists. So just the fact that the Wikipedia page for murdered rappers, I don't think there's a page for murdered pianists. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's a page for murdered country music superstars either. But the fact that there's even a page that is for murdered rappers is chilling in and of itself. It looks like there's 33 names on this list, I think, including Bankroll Fresh, Big Hawk, who's from Texas, you know, from the Screwed Up era, I believe, Big L, as we talked about, Chinx, Dobie, Jam Master J, we mentioned him, Biggie, of course, Proof from D12, I mean, Slim Duncan, Soulja Slim. It's just sad. It's just a sad state of affairs, man. I mean, because all we want to do is enjoy the music, and I don't know, man. Like, I don't need all my rappers to be gangbangers. Like, I love the gangster rap. I love gangster rap. Like, I love the aggression behind it, and I think it's very raw, and I think it's very emotional, and I think it's very real, but I don't like it when it gets too real. And maybe I am as the listener, maybe I'm wrong for that. Maybe I'm wrong for liking this brand of music and then, you know, shunning the murders of these people or people who maybe were involved in a lifestyle that was reflective of that. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's on us as listeners. I don't know if you guys have an opinion on that, but all I know is that even though I love gangster rap and I love to hear that stuff, and I love records with gunshots in the production, like that 50 Cent record that was on Get Rich or Die Trying, track 7, I can't think of the name of it. Heat, I think it was called Heat. That one had the loading and the cocking in the as part of the instrumentation. Tupac and Bone, their record that had the gunshots in the on Thug Love in the background. Like, I love that production, but, you know, but I don't love seeing other black men die in their 20s and 30s. Like, it's horrible. It's horrible. And, you know, as a black male myself, I'm constantly reminded of that. And we live in a world where it's become all too routine, man. I live in Illinois, not far from Chicago. I hear about it every weekend. You hear about the murder rate. You hear about the number of murders that went down in Chicago. It's just really sad. I think we're going to leave that subject there, but thanks for bringing that to light, Kenny. You guys have any final thoughts on the evening as far as just the state of hip hop overall? Are you guys happy with the music that you're hearing right now? Are you guys upset? Are you concerned? Are you concerned? I'll tell you this. I'll tease the articles tomorrow that are going up on Future. I think you guys may be a little concerned maybe with all the shine Future is getting from a music standpoint. Maybe. You guys got to check out the columns themselves. But any final thoughts, just wrapping it up? Anthony, Kenny, how you guys feeling about hip-hop in general?
Well, I would say overall, I'm pretty content with hip-hop at the moment. You know, even with the stuff that Future is putting out, you know, my article is not necessarily to take a stance to say that he is, you know, a positive or negative thing on the culture of hip-hop per se right now. I think that overall I like Future, you know, and I don't necessarily have a problem with Future's music or, you know, the volume of music even that he puts out necessarily, but it's just to pose the question of, is it too much? You know, is he doing too much? And, you know, I think that it'll be interesting to hear some of the feedback and the dialogue that maybe it creates, because, you know, there always comes a point in every rapper's career, you know, there's their ascent to, you know, to fame and stardom and greatness, and then there's a point where there's a backlash. You know, we saw it with Jay, we saw it with 50, we've seen it with Drake. You know, it comes to that point where everybody says, all right, enough is enough. Enough is enough. You know, this guy has been giving us this type of music for X amount of weeks, months, or years, and we've had enough, you know. And it's up to this point, it doesn't seem like America has necessarily had enough of Future yet. And I'm just wondering if we are going to reach that point where he's going to hit critical mass here. So I'm just interested to see what other people think. And, you know, I'm just excited to see the dialogue that we can maybe get started tomorrow on this.
What's funny, too, is as you mentioned that, going back to my topic from the top of the show, you look at Lil Wayne, that what you're talking about absolutely happened to Lil Wayne. Like, Lil Wayne cranked out so much music for so long, and we all admired him for it. But eventually, I think the production superseded the quality, or the quantity exceeded the quality in his music. And I think he became so consumed with putting out music, that ultimately that plus the drugs probably, started to erode the product. And what we saw was his music was on a steady decline for a while, and then kind of crash landed maybe about 2, 3, 4 years ago. And he's been struggling to rebound from that since. At the same time, we saw 2 Chainz, who about 3 years ago was the hottest rapper in hip hop. And shortly after his first record, as his first like official major release as 2 Chainz, he then came out with Boats 2. And I think at that time, I wrote a column on the website that was basically like, yo, is it just me or has 2 Chainz already started to peak? And like, he's already peaked and it's already going downhill for him. Because he didn't seem to quite have the momentum that he had before. And I think what we saw was 2 Chainz oversaturated the market. We just saw 2 Chainz everywhere. He was on everybody's record. He was doing everybody's feature. It seemed like he didn't turn a project down. He never met a project he didn't like. He never saw a show he didn't like. So you can't hold it against him because he's out here getting money. And you got to strike while the iron's hot in music. But at the same time, you didn't make the fans miss you. You know what I'm saying? And I think that may have worked to his detriment. And now we're seeing Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz work together. So I think that's kind of odd. But maybe not odd, but it's just kind of interesting how that all played out. Anthony, you have any other remarks?
No, not really. I mean, the same diminishing return stuff y'all talking about.
Those damn diminishing returns. I think we're about out of time anyways. Yeah, we're just over the hour mark now. So I think we'll go ahead and leave it there, man. But I appreciate the conversation this evening. And we really touched on some stuff beyond just the bars themselves and beyond just the beats and beyond just the rhymes. And so that's exactly the kind of discussion that I knew that we were going to generate this evening. And so I very much appreciate both of you guys. Thank you, Kenny and Anthony, for joining the first ever three-man weave edition of the preseason podcast of the year. Thank you guys for listening this evening. Go ahead and check out Anthony and Kenny's columns on Future coming out tomorrow. They'll be out by the time you guys hear this podcast, I can assure you. And go listen to some Biggie today. Please go ahead and listen to some Notorious B.I.G. tonight. He's one of the greatest rappers of all time, and he only dropped one album while he was alive. You know what I mean? I mean, the other one was almost out, and he ended up being murdered before he even got to see that one hit the shelves. So it's amazing what he did in such a short time. And to kind of go back to Kenny's point earlier, man, Biggie Smalls was 24 years old when he passed away. I mean, think about it. All three of us were well beyond our 24th birthday. Biggie was 24 years old when he died. So it's kind of crazy to think about, man. But we always love Big Papa, and we're not going to forget him at Hip Hop Sports Report. And we're going to make sure that we honor his legacy going forward every year on March 9th. So we might even go ahead and repost the March 9th column that we wrote a few years back. But make sure you guys go ahead and listen to some Biggie tonight. And go ahead and check out hiphopsportsreport.com. We got everything that you need about football, basketball, hip-hop, all that stuff. We got it all covered. And I couldn't do it alone, and I couldn't do it without Kenny and Anthony. So thank you guys so much for joining us, and thank you guys for all of your contributions to the website. Hit us on Twitter, twitter.com/HHSReport. The same handle is there for Facebook as well. Go ahead and please, I beg of you. I don't beg of you. Do it if you want to, but I'd appreciate it if you guys went ahead and downloaded the podcast and go ahead and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, y'all. The website just keeps growing, keeps getting better and better, and I couldn't do it without all of the support of you guys, the listeners, and the readers. So I love you guys. Thank you so much, and we out of here. Peace. Hip-hop itself is at a pit stop itself. Seeing Big die, I wish to stop itself. It hurts. He's probably too good for this earth. Genius at his worst. Made dirty cats want to get a clean shirt. Pop Chris style and rock they ice work. Go big. Had everybody wanting to know Big. Made the rap biz, glitter like showbiz. Ask anybody who could flow big. All the cats shine, but you would glow big. Frank White lyrically, move spiritually. Made you wanna get a cup, fill it up with Hennessy. Front in the club and light a Dutch where the women be. If you've seen the show, then I know you felt the energy. We'll always love you, babe.
everything is all real. But it's sad when the good fella catch a raw deal. And pain is a part of life that we all feel. Today this whole rap game is getting more ill. It make me look back to where he took rap. Duke bought the East back, y'all better believe that. He never had a warning. One more chance was right before him. Everybody must answer when God's calling. I flew V's with him, I blew trees with him. Couldn't wait to go on tour across seas with him. People seem to get lost in blow things out of proportion. Life is worth more than the coffin. I need answers, and they better be the truth. Hurts like a bad tooth, we losing mad youth. Lyrically, there'll never be no one above you. And no matter how they judge you, we always gonna love you. After all this, it sure done cease. I'm big right now. You and Pac in harmony, probably hugging. Why everybody from Brooklyn to West Coast is bugging. All these gang wars, big, show me a sign. As for your son, I'ma raise shorty like he was mine. It seems that the devil got us thinking backward when we should pray through Jesus and ask for forgiveness. I remember all the studio time getting twisted. Bottle after bottle, Bacardi line, I miss it. We clicked like hills when we first met the Junior Mafia and Big Papa. Nearly broke down four times writing this verse. Filled with wild madness and sadness at first. But ain't no need to cry, cause right now, where you at? Is more lace than any place a millionaire live at. But it's sad that it takes that for us to unite. The only time you see your family is funeral night. Christopher Wallace, Frank White, holding it down. I guess you with the real king in New York now. For real.
Big Papa, we'll always love you, babe.